We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 36, but let's sing this chorus first. Keep on walking by faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Once more. Just keep on walking by faith. Yes, keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Let's give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. We've got some dear old friends here from, not that they're old, but we've known them a long time. From down in Tennessee, Dave and Bonnie Petty, and their grandson is here, sitting in the front row. You can raise your hands here and see who you are. We've got our visitors from Illinois, these two nice, wonderful young ladies here. And God bless you. I don't try to embarrass anybody. I just want to acknowledge you. And it's good to see Arnie here. Just had heart surgery a week ago. Amen. Praise the Lord. Only 1 week ago, and here he is in church already. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is a wonder worker, isn't He?
Yes, He is.
Amen. You know, we go through a lot of things in life, and there's a lot of trouble. Seems like as you get older, you see more and more trouble, and maybe it's because we remember the trouble we had, plus what we've got, and we wonder what's next. But it just seems like the world is full of a lot of trouble. There is a remedy for that. We have something that the world does not have. And the Bible tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from out of them all. You have God and you need God every day. What would we do without Him? You know, you look at people out there, what would they do if they're in trouble? They don't know God. I can't imagine that. That doesn't register with me because I'm constantly calling upon Him. Because we are facing battles every day. We're challenged. This world is hostile toward us. This world hates us. The government institutions hate us. The educational institutions hate us. Everybody hates us, but God loves us. Isn't that exciting? And I'd rather have that. Let it be that way. Amen. We're going to pray before we go into the Word of God. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy blessings and for this opportunity we have now to look into Thy holy Word. And we acknowledge Thy word, O Lord. We believe it is true, every word of it. And, O Lord, let every heart here be yielded to Thee. Help us, O Lord, that we'd humble ourselves in Thy holy presence. And, O God, lead and guide and direct us by Thy Spirit in Thy perfect way. Speak to us, Lord, for we find great hope in Thee. And we know that hope maketh not ashamed. And, O Lord, I pray now that Thou wouldst rebuke every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power, let all of these be made powerless in Thy holy presence and give us victory through the blood of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus we ask it, and Lord, that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are in Jeremiah chapter 36 to begin with this morning. We're calling this message, The Final Hope Consumed. Maybe that'll be a little thought-provoking. We have a hope.
Yes.
And that hope is alive because Jesus is alive. This world has hope if they would yield to the Word of God. Now, In Israel, in the Old Testament, they got into a lot of trouble. These were the people that God brought through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, into the Promised Land, took it away from the giants and all the people that were there. It looked impossible. Everything that God did there was impossible, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. But after they got into the Promised Land, as Moses said, he said, when you get comfortable, when everything's going well for you, you'll forget God. They said, oh, no, we won't. No, we won't do that. And they got to the place that God brought them to, and they forgot the Lord. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 2, the Word of God tells us that the people of Israel, he said, hath forgotten me days without number. Think about it. All the people, and the same is true today in our land. How many people that you see out there moving around, interacting, doing all kinds of things, do they ever think about God? I had a brother-in-law who is now deceased, but he used to say, yep, he said, I'm thankful. He said, I haven't had to pray for a long time. Haven't had to pray for a long time? Well, that's warped thinking, isn't it? We need to pray like we need to breathe. Constantly. Pray without ceasing. We find ourselves doing that as we drive down the road, in our homes, every place. Every so often we'll just start praying a little bit here and there. And then there are those seasons of prayer where we'll call upon the Lord. That's what gets us through. Praise His holy name. No, we do need the Lord every day. He is our hope, without question. Now, Israel had gotten into this position where they did some terrible things. Terrible, terrible things. They got in a situation where they were adding on to the temple. They made a special area in the temple for homosexuals, the Sodomites. In other words, yes, they made allowance for the queers. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about that. You know, Obama signed that thing, you know, that makes me an outlaw because I'm talking about homosexuality. No, I'll tell you what, God feels the same way about it before Obama signed it and after Obama signed it. It doesn't make any difference what Obama did. But they made provision for the homosexuals. They mass murdered babies, offering them in sacrifices. Terrible things they did. Almost sounds like the United States of America. And since God never changes, that tells me we're in for it as a country. Prophetically, the Word of God declares this nation will fall. The cities of the nations will fall. Everything's going to come apart at the seams because God has reserved His wrath for the end. And when it comes, it's going to hit hard. There are a lot of things going on right now that lead to that, that show us that this is indeed coming. But we're going to go back first to Old Testament Israel and look at the actions of the king of Israel, or I should say Judah, the king of Judah, and something that he did that should send shockwaves through us all. In the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, it starts out by saying, and it came to pass, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, and don't you appreciate the word of the Lord? When God speaks, He's the one who spoke and brought the whole creation into existence by the power of His voice. Now God is going to speak. And it says, He says to Jeremiah, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even into this day. He's saying, I want you to write something down, Jeremiah. I want you to write down what I'm going to do to this people and to this land and to these nations. Now, why is God doing this? I want to tell you something about our Lord. He is always ready to forgive. He's not a hard taskmaster. God does love us. But let's face it, things have to be His way because He's God. All right? You can't vote to change His mind. You know, we've got a Congress that likes to vote things in and vote things out. And most of it's pretty evil. As the Scripture says, they frame mischief by a law. Robbery by legislation? Yeah, happens all the time, doesn't it? Well, you know, what can you expect when you got 274 millionaire representatives and they didn't have a million when they got there? And they don't get paid enough to get a million while they're there, unless they're there for a long time. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the Bible tells us the whole world lieth in wickedness. And everything out there is a scam and it is corrupt and this world is living a lie. And they want you to believe that lie. They don't want you to think. Because if you think, and oh, if you ever yield yourself to God and He begins to reveal things to you, you could be a lot of trouble to them. But here is why the Lord wants Jeremiah to write this down. It's to give Israel, I should say Judah in this case, hope. He says, it may be. Now, when something may be, that gives you hope. Right? It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Now, isn't that an awesome thing for God to say? He's saying, oh, I want this written down. I want them to hear it. They may turn from their evil. That's the purpose. Now, God gave us His word here for the same purpose, to give us hope. But anyway, he goes on in verse 4. It says, then Jeremiah called Baruch. That's a Hebrew word, Baruch. It means blessed. The son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So Jeremiah is hearing directly from God. He's dictating the word, and Baruch is writing it down. Came directly from God. Oh, a message from the Lord. And I'll tell you this. I would rather have God tell me anything than tell me nothing. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Now, isn't that something? Here's a prophet of God. He's not allowed in church. They shut him out. He could not go into the temple. Why? You wouldn't want to bring truth into the temple. Something might happen. You bring truth in where there's a whole bunch of lies, there's going to be a reaction. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. He's saying, I want everybody to hear this. It isn't like those things the government does where they don't want anybody to hear about. They just want to take a vote on it. Last night, the Senate voted and they passed this health care bill, advanced it to the point where all they have to do now is hammer out the rough spots and then it goes through. And they wouldn't have gotten it. They needed 60 votes, and they got 60. But they bought out the senator from Louisiana for $300 million. They bought her vote. Hey, they wanted this thing to go through, didn't they? $300 million they appropriated for her state, gave her everything she wanted. She said, okay, then I'll vote for it. And so everybody had to be given a copy of this thing, and so they had to haul out these copies of the bill that stood 2 feet high and weighed 20 and one-half pounds. Over 2,000 pages. In fact, I got a few statistics on it. I think I brought this with me. This ought to be interesting. Let's have a look at it. I just glanced at it earlier, but yeah, it went through 60 to 39, and from what we know about it, it's a 2,074-page bill. Can you imagine reading that? They said it would take 48 hours straight reading to do it. In fact, one of the senators said, I know nobody's going to read this, so I'll stand up and read it to you, but Majority Leader Harry Reid, a deadhead, literally deadhead, I'm not being sarcastic, he is a follower of the Grateful Dead. Jerry Garcia and the boys, you know. Remember the Grateful Dead? That rock group? He's got Grateful Dead posters all over in his bathroom and everywhere. The reporters saw it and they couldn't believe it. Harry Reid, that old fossil, is a deadhead. But anyway, you know, his followers always, you know, rode around in these old VW buses, these little, vans, okay. Well, anyway, it's interesting because the bill contains the word tax 511 times. It includes 18 tax hikes. Obama said there'll be no raise in tax, no new tax. There's 18 of them in there. The Africans speak with forked tongue? Well, anyway, the word require is in there more than 1,000 times. The word shall, which is, of course, a very assertive word, is in there 3,500 times. So this is a very interesting piece of legislation here. They call it a turkey because it weighs over 20 pounds. That's actually what they're saying in here. But this is a horrendous thing. For one thing, everybody that has this insurance is going to have on their bill $1 due for abortion purposes. And it's listed as such separately so that when you have to pay this health tax insurance, as it were, you're contributing a dollar to killing babies. And they're setting up a federal fund, U.S. Treasury fund, for abortion purposes only. A baby-killing fund. Now, when I look at this sort of thing, I see trouble ahead because God is going to judge it, because He is God, because He's righteous. But how can people consciously and conscientiously sit down and vote for something they haven't read? They don't know what's in it. And they give it a yes. And this is going on all the time. In case you haven't realized it yet, we've lost our country. It's been taken over. We don't have it anymore. This is not the country you were born into. It's different now. Things have happened. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And before long, it was gone. Now, I'm not taking hope away from you, because if your hope was in this nation and in this world, you're in a sad condition anyway. The Apostle Paul said, if our hope were in this present world only, in this present life, this present world, he said, we'd be of all men most miserable. It goes far beyond this. And Jesus told us that these times would come. And it's going to get worse. which means we need to get closer to God. But notice what's happening here with Jeremiah. Because this was to be read, this roll, the scroll that was written, to be read to all the people that come out of all the cities. Everybody was supposed to hear it. Nothing secret here. This thing was not done in a corner. It says in verse 7, it may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every man from his evil way. This is the way God wanted it to be. For great is the anger and the fury of the Lord hath pronounced against this people. Great is that anger and fury. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. That's a novelty, isn't it? Reading the word of the Lord in the Lord's house. You'd be surprised how many churches there are that don't have the word of the Lord. I believe that the King James Bible is God's word in the English language. It is his only word in the English language. Amen. They've got NIVs, they've got NASBs, they've got reverse visions, revised versions, every kind of crazy thing there is. And I've actually visited in services because of some kind of an occasion in the past where I never one time heard the name Jesus, never once. Everything was in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In the first place, the Bible never says God the Son. It says the Son of God. Right. Read it cover to cover. Right. It's always the Son of God, never God the Son. To say God the Son is to say God the flesh. It makes the flesh God. But you see, and you get into the Roman Catholic realm and these places, they've got their mythology going on with all their so-called saints and they've got mama gods and daddy gods having baby gods and all that kind of crazy stuff like the Greeks and the Romans did. No, we understand what the Word of God says. There is one God.
That's right.
And He manifests Himself
right.
as our Heavenly Father, as the Son of God, and as the Holy Ghost, but it's one God. And so, the Word of God was read here in the Lord's house. And verse 9 says, and it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. He went right to where the most people were, and he gave them the word. Isn't that great when you can just get the word out there and watch it work? And it's going to do something. The word of God will always do something. It'll precipitate a reaction. Either it will bring people to humility and under repentance, or it'll get them mad at you. And they will hate you beyond description. And they don't want you around. Jesus said that blessed are you when men shall part you from their company and separate you from their company. For great is your reward in heaven. And they'll do that. They don't want you around. If you're going to truly bear the word of God, oh yes, people who love the word of God want you around. And that's where you want to be. But basically, the word of God will always bring a reaction. You know, I was thinking about this dear old sister in the Clintonville church, the one I came into when I came out of the occult. There were several old ladies there, elderly ladies, that prayed me right off the street. And I love them to this day for it. They're all gone to be with the Lord now. But one dear old lady said that she had this, she was in, I believe it was one of our bigger cities, I think it was Milwaukee at the time. She was taking a city bus, and she always carried her Bible with her. It was a pretty good sized, you know, it wasn't one of these little pocket size. She'd carry it around. And she would tell people, everybody she met, about the Lord. She didn't care. They had to hear. That's how she felt about it. She didn't care. She made a nuisance of herself. Well, anyway, she had that Bible with her, and she stepped off the bus, and a rabid dog, foaming at the mouth, rabies, came running at her. And she said, Lord, what should I do? And she heard a voice, an audible voice, speak to her that said, give him the word. And the dog jumped at her, and she rammed her Bible right into the dog's mouth. And the dog bit down on it and then walked away. Because a rabid dog just wants to bite. After they bite once, then they'll go away. Of course, you got to watch what they bite. But the Lord said, give them the word. And she gave them the word. And it saved her from an awful situation. Amen. I remember right before the towers came down, I had just seen the vision of the towers coming down in New York City on the first week of July, as I was sailing over the harbor, going past the Statue of Liberty, and I looked at the torch, and I looked over at the city, and I could see the flames leaping, and heard the screaming, and smoke, and all. I saw it in a vision. And of course, I wrote about that at the end of July, and mailed out thousands of copies, postmarked, and then a short time later, it happened. I didn't know when it would happen, I just knew it would happen. And of course, one prison inmate that got the newsletter with the postmark on it took it to the warden and said, look at this. This guy predicted this was going to happen, and it happened. And the warden read it. And he said, this is so detailed, he had to be in on it. And they sent it to the FBI. Turned me over to the FBI. But they never bothered me. See, they just don't understand that God can show you something. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. God said he'd pour out his spirit. And so it just absolutely bewildered them. But anyway, it was we were in a subway, get ready to get on a subway, and there was a black woman, African-American woman, in the down in where the subways come through. And she was preaching her heart out. Repent, repent, the city is coming down. And just, she was so anointed and just crying out. And it wasn't long after, that was the same day I saw the vision. I saw this woman crying out to the people. And people were stunned. I watched their faces as they got on the subway. One man looked at me and said, boy, she sure believes what she believes. I said, yeah, she does. You know, and the Lord is coming. He is coming. The Bible said that the day would come, there'd be blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And there were that day. On September 11th, 9/11, 2001. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And that was a sign that the end was upon us. And I'll tell you one thing, it's gone downhill ever since. All of a sudden, there's wars and rumors of wars breaking out, and we know how they're started and so forth. They're planned out, but in Afghanistan and over in Iraq and all kinds of other troubles flaring up everywhere, earthquakes in diverse places, signs in space, constantly going on. How could anybody miss it? Unless they're tuned into Hollywood. And all the perverted entertainments of this world, you can't miss it unless you are so distracted by the devil. And unless your heart is so given to this world that you can't hear from God. You know, in this situation in Israel, God was looking at them repenting, giving them hope. And that's why Baruch was reading this word. God's going to bring judgment. He's going to judge sin. So repent of it, and all will be well. I'll tell you this, God never will turn away true repentance.
That's right.
Never. I don't care what you've done. If you truly repent, God will forgive you. Every time.
Amen.
Unto 70 times 7.
That's right.
That's the kind of God He is. The problem is the refusal of people to repent. And so it was read in the ears of all the people. And verse 11 says, when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. So he went into the equivalent of the White House there. And lo, all the priests... all the princes sat there. Even Elishama, the scribe, and Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achor, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. See, God knows their names. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch. I always get a kick out of the name Cushai. It means blackie. Cush means black. Okay. Means I actually literally means blackie or I am black. Isn't her name for Obama? And I'm not being racial. Okay? Well, he's half white. Why does he claim to be black? What happened to the other half? Well, anyway. Well, it is. See, when he plays the race card, you also have to remember the man is a dyed-in-the-wool communist. Not a socialist. He is a communist. You know, you don't hear the word... When's the last time you heard the word communism other than from me? Back when I was... In the 60s, you heard it all the time. They talk about this or that person being a communist. When I was in the UN one time... We had this guide taking us through the UN, and she was from communist China, Red China. And I said to her, why is it that when I was young, it was always Red China, and now it's not red anymore, it's just China? Is it still communist? She said, well, yeah. I said, then it's still red. She said, well, no, the Cold War is over. Well, guess who won? When we have in our country the communist red Chinese communist flag going up in Washington with 1,000 Chinese people there of significance watching it go up, when we illuminate, and I chose that word on purpose, the Empire State Building in red and yellow to honor, and it's specifically stated to honor the birthday of the Communist Revolution in China, our Empire State Building. These are signs that we have lost our country. We live in a communist nation right now. That's why you look at the acts of Congress, you might say, this isn't democracy anymore. Well, democracy is no good anyway. It's mob rule, but what happened to the Republic? People don't want to face the fact that they've lost it. There is such a thing as a point of no return. You can be in one of these big, heavy airliners, and if the angle is too great for too long, it's going to crash, and you can't pull out of it. that critical angle. I know I sound like a fatalist, but I'm not. I'm telling you, we need to put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We must cry out. We must declare the truth. But it is truly a deceived generation. So he talks about here, the son of Cushai unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come, she says, come along, come with me. And so Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. So he had a special command reading there by the princes. So here's Congress wants to hear it, okay? Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. So they were shook up. They said, we're going to go to the king with this. God says he's going to do this and that and the other thing, and this nation will be destroyed and foreigners will come in and take over. Hey, they've already done it here. Go to motels that's run by people from India. Go to convenience stores run by people from India. Or from one of the Muslim countries. You look at how much has been seized upon and taken over already. Why? How did this happen? Events such as happened at Fort Hoodwink. And how many other plants are there? Now they're finding suspicious bombs and packages and things in different military installations, such as Fort Bragg and so forth. Oh yes, there's treachery at hand. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? They want a clarification. How did this happen, Baruch, that you got this powerful word here, condemning? Nobody wants to be condemned. People don't like that. But the purpose of it was to bring them to repentance. So stated by God himself. Shake them up. Knock them loose. Make them think. People don't want to go to church and be shaken up. They want to be comfortable. They want to be stroked. They want to relax. They want to have that good feeling. There's only one way to get the good feeling ultimately, and that's to give your heart to Jesus Christ. And so it says in verse 18, then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. It's just that simple. What's so hard about that? God gave it. Jeremiah spoke it. I wrote it down. Why struggle with that one? Okay? Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. Now they've got to hide. I mean, why are they such enemies? Why are they so dangerous? Why would you and I be dangerous to this crooked system? I'll tell you one thing. If you are speaking the truth, you are a danger to a system built up on lies. And even though, as I said last week, even if you are one voice, even if you are the only voice and it's only one, then that thought lives. Then the truth lives. I don't care what the majority says or thinks. If you declare it, it's the word of God. It's the truth. It lives. But most people won't speak up. That's why in the Psalms, David cried out and said, "Who will rise up against the evildoer?" And it says in verse 20, "And they went in to the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe." They wouldn't bring the word into the king. They just went in themselves. "And told all the words in the ears of the king." You see, they knew that the king was an egomaniac, narcissist. Are you seeing a parallel here? All right. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. King says, "I want to see this. Bring it here." And he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood before the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire in the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife, a scribe's knife, and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. He took the word of God, he proceeded to methodically cut it to shreds, and then threw it in the fire and burned it. After all, he was the king. Right? He could do this. He could burn it. He had a fire there. He had a penknife. He was the man of authority. You know, when people get that much pride in them that they disregard the word of God, there's great trouble. Amen. And this globe-trotting president that we've got who goes over to China, Japan, bows before the emperor. Well, these spirits will honor each other. Those devils in Obama were honoring those devils in the emperor of Japan. There's nothing unusual about that. But when he goes to China and he's traveling there, he's going to a meeting. And he's got his beast car. See, we had to fly that over there for him. And you know, the Secret Service. Whenever you see the word POTUS, P-O-T-U-S, President of the United States, that's what it stands for. So here's POTUS, as they call him. That's what the Secret Service refers to him as. He's in his beast car, but one car is not enough to go to the meeting. He had to have an entourage of 71 cars. After all, he's the king. Right? You know what his friends refer to him as? The One. He is the One. The One. There is only one who is the One. And that's Almighty God. So here the king is burning. This is the last, the final hope being consumed, which is the title of our message. The final hope. This was hope for them. They could respond to this. They could repent, but it burned in the fire in the very presence of the king. Hope on fire. Hope being consumed. Hope perishing in the flames. And now we've got this crazy thing going on over in Copenhagen. It's going to start in December. For 12 days, they gather together and literally form the one world government. That's what it's all about. That is what they are doing. It has nothing to do with climate. That's all a ruse. That's a gimmick. Remember when Hitler, old Schickelgruber, told all of Germany, "You need to do everything you can for der Vaterland, the fatherland." And people got caught up in the frenzy of the fatherland, ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. And they do anything for the fatherland. Well, now it's Mother Land, Mother Earth. Save Mother Earth. Honor Mother Earth. Make sure Mother Earth is green again. That's a gimmick. It means nothing. There's no global warming. There's global sinning. But there's no global warming. That's just a gimmick, an excuse to weld the people behind us that we've got, well, as the headlines say, can Obama save the world? And so at Copenhagen, they plan to put this thing all together. Remember that old saying, there's something rotten in Denmark? Well, boy, it's as rotten as can be now. They literally sign everything away. And, you know, Obama came right out in a campaign speech before he was elected, and he said, most assuredly, he said, the utility bills, the electric bills, are going to rise to great levels. They're going to go very, very high. Well, people wanted him anyway. He promised change, which is all he's going to leave you, because he's going to take the dollars. And Jim Sensenbrenner said in Wisconsin, the electric bills are going to triple after that Copenhagen thing, and they start implementing this. You start shutting down all the power plants, and the coal-fired plants will be allowed to operate, but they have to pay a huge penalty, which they pass on to the customer. 18 new taxes with the health care plan, and people out of work. Masses of people out of work. They're trying to extract every last drop of blood they can out of people, and they haven't learned that lesson yet. They're literally bankrupt. The country is bankrupt, but they're bankrupting the people as well. And then to top it off, Hillary Clinton pledged all of your personal property and real property as collateral to Red China on the debt that we owe them because it's such a huge deficit. Boy, I paint a pretty picture, don't I? I'm just telling you how it is. I mean, inquiring minds want to know, don't they? But our hope is in Jesus Christ. Here the king took the scripture and burned it in the fire. The flames enclosed it, consumed it. This was their last hope. What happened then? Well, it says, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. They didn't care. Didn't bother them one whit that the scripture was burning in the flames. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. Self-willed, arrogant, proud. He did it anyway. But the king commanded Jerahmeel, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet. But the Lord hid them. The Lord hid them. You realize God can hide you if he needs to? Do you realize that those looking for you can go right past you and not even see you? Did you know that Jesus walked right through a crowd, right in the midst of the ones that took him? They're trying to take him and just walked right through and they... None of them could see him. Where is he? What happened? Where'd he go? We better start believing in miracles because we're going to need them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. They're not listening, folks. And the pride and the arrogance, see, Satan fell because of pride. Satan is the epitome of pride itself. And he gets into these leaders like Obama, just like he had gotten into Hitler, and he'd gotten into Mussolini and Hirohito and these various ones in these the start of these big wars. Talk about pride and arrogance. Remember Mussolini, Al Dus? Always turned profile, put his nose in the air. Remember that? Did you ever see pictures of Al Dus? He's standing up there in Italy, and he goes to Rome. He gets in front of all these, almost everybody there, Catholic. And he says, there is a no God. Of course, the Catholic people, how can he say such a thing, you know? He says, there is a no God. If there's a God, they give him a 5 minutes to strike me dead. Didn't know I could talk Italian, did you? And he stood out there in front of all these people. Said, I give God 5 minutes to strike me dead. Took out his watch, popped it open, and stood there for 5 minutes. And they all waited for him to drop dead, and he didn't. He snapped it shut. Said, see, there is no God. You imagine the arrogance and the pride of that? You know what that's like? That's like a little ant climbs up on the railroad track, lifts up his little ant leg, and shakes it up toward heaven and said, I don't believe there's a train. There's no such thing as a train. If there's a train, they give it 5 minutes to run me over. As if the railroad is supposed to dispatch a special train just to run down that little ant. But if he waited a while, one would come along. And Mussolini saw the day where they strung him up, and that was the end of it. God is not mocked. Isn't it amazing what pride can do to people? Verse 32 says, then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. How could Jeremiah write it? It's the same thing, word for word, because God gave it. So what did the king really accomplish? Nothing. The word stands. The word stands. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Amen. Mr. Obama, you talk about somebody in defiance of God. Anyway, and there were added besides unto them many like words. God said, I'll give them some extra. Huh? Add a little to that, just to top it off. You see, there's a real problem when God offers hope and people reject it. in Proverbs chapter 1, just a few verses here, I want to show you something I think is quite important. The Lord asks the question in Proverbs 1:22, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity?" And what that means there is that that's the same word there as naive. How long will you love naivety? You see, if you don't stand for God, you'll fall for anything. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. God's saying, if I reprove you, turn from your sin. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Listen to the Lord there. I will pour my spirit out unto you. If these churches would repent, they'd be filled with the Holy Ghost. I will make known my words unto you. And then he says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. See, the door closes eventually, doesn't it? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You know, I got to tell you that just a few weeks ago, this earth almost got hit by a large asteroid. And it would have devastated this planet. How close was it? It was only 1/6 the distance of the moon. It came that close. And they didn't know about it until 15 hours before it hit apogee. 15 hours is all the warning they had. And there's a lot of other ones out there. You read in the book of Revelation, there's a great star that falls from heaven and changes everything. Folks, it's coming. One of them's going to hit. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity? Yes. Of fools shall destroy them. And by the way, we don't have prosperity in this country anymore. We're broke. People think, well, you know, there's prosperous people out there. No, not really. Everything, think about it. Everything's running on credit. Everything, what is your credit score? What difference should it make? Pay cash. You don't need a credit score. But that's the big thing, isn't it? What's your credit score? It goes up to 840, I think. Mine is 839. But who cares? I pay my bills, you know, so I guess I've got a high credit score. My wife's higher than mine. But everything is credit, 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 borrow, 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 borrow your way to prosperity. Everybody owes everybody. And right now, nobody can pay. And that is, we're being hostily taken over by a communist government, and people can't see it. Every indicator, every sign is there. That ghost fleet. People are talking about 'tis the season to be jolly. Well, I don't know if you noticed it or not. There are things in the stores, but not as much of it. They've cut back on the quantities of the different items of inventory. Everybody's done it. China doesn't want to ship much to us anymore because we owe so much we can't pay. And over in Singapore, right off Singapore, there's the ghost fleet. The London Daily Telegraph had an article with pictures, full picture spread on it. There are more ships, freighters, that were hauling freight to the United States. There are more freighters than there are in the entire U.S. Navy and British Navy combined, sitting there empty. No captain, no crew, no cargo, nothing. Just sitting there. The ghost fleet, they call it. They light it up at night so things don't ram into it. That's how things have been affected by all of this. And we know that the housing market has fallen. Next is going to be commercial real estate, shopping malls, stores, defaulting on their loans because they can't pay. After that, credit cards. People will be maxed out nationwide to the point where the banks can't collect on the credit cards. And then another fall will come. And that should about finish it off. But they're planning this. Because then comes forth the new electronic system. The one that's supposed to save us all. I don't know about you, but my only hope is in our coming Savior. Because I'll tell you right now, they don't know what they're doing. And besides that, the Bible says anyone who drinks from the cup of Babylon goes crazy. It says they have drunken from the cup of Babylon, therefore the nations are mad. Mad, meaning insane. They're doing insane things. Have you watched? Have you noticed? What other insane thing will they come up with? I don't know. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now what happens when people repent? We've got a few minutes left yet. Let's look at Luke 19 for a moment. In Luke 19, it tells about a little short man named Zacchaeus. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. A rich tax collector. A rich tax collector. Back in those days, they would always add a little to the tax and stuff it in their pocket, you know. Much like today. I mean, that's what the government's been doing all the time. Rich. You know, the Germans have a word for, a very interesting word, Reich. The word Reich, it means rich and it means government, both. They practice the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. Oh, by the way, did you know that the gold supply has now run out? It's been officially announced. The gold supply of the world has run out. There is no more. Somebody got it. That's right. It didn't vanish. It didn't just kind of evaporate. Gold doesn't evaporate. Somebody's got it in their hot little fists and in their vaults. And yep. But here's Zacchaeus. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Just a little short guy. And he ran before. Isn't it great he sought to see Jesus? We need to seek the Lord. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Here's this grown man climbing a tree. That's how much he wanted to see Jesus. Would you climb a tree to see Jesus? It'd have to be one of those with a lot of branches near the bottom for me. but I think I'd do it. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. What a shock. All he wanted to do was see Jesus, and now he's got an invitation. Jesus saying, come down, I'm going to your house with you. You want to take the Lord home with you today?
Amen.
Amen. And you don't even have to climb a tree.
Amen.
All you have to do is repent.
Right.
If you want to climb a tree, we got some out here, but you don't need to do that. Just repent.
That's right.
And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. All the people, oh, what's he doing here? Who's gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner? I've never met a man yet that wasn't a sinner. Including the old rascal in the mirror.
Yeah.
Huh?
Come on.
All right. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What's he saying? I'm going to give it all back. And he meant it too. Watch what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, This day, all these words mean more than anything because it goes on into eternity. This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Isn't that beautiful? Just think, someday you see this little short guy walking around up there in glory. It might be Zacchaeus. Tell him how the story inspired you. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have a golden opportunity right now to come to the Lord. And everybody has got something in their life they'd like to drop. We have things to fight with and struggle with, don't we? Before you go out the door today, I know God gave me this message for a reason. He poured this on me. I didn't want to preach this today. You might wonder why. I don't know. It was a pressure on me. I just found it difficult. But the Lord wouldn't let up on me. He was just putting this on me. What this means is He wants us all to have our hearts right with Him. Everybody's got something they need to let go of. Everybody. I don't care who you are. We need a deeper walk, a greater dedication, more faith. It's the Lord calling us for a purpose. And our hope is in repentance. God already told us what the response would be. We know in advance. He will accept us. He'll strengthen us. He'll heal us. He'll lift us up. Let's let it all go. Give it to God, because He will pour out His Spirit. King Jehoiakim burned his hope in the fire. Oh, we'd never do that, but we could ignore all of this and just walk out the door and go home and forget it. But that wouldn't be right either, would it? But we can take time right now to respond to the call of God. Now we're going to pray. And I open this whole place up for you for prayer. And yes, we'll sing. Yes, we'll praise our God. But right now, at the end of this service, I'm going to ask you if there's anybody here that needs special prayer. Or maybe you've never truly met the Savior in the way that you'd like to. This building and the front area here is open to you. You can pray back where you are, or you could come forward. We'll pray for you and with you if you want us to. But the main thing is, don't walk out the door today until you're right with God, because this is God's call to you. Don't burn your hope in the fire. Respond, and He will do marvelous things for you. And your life will change. Your problems will melt away. We'll always face more, but that we'll always have victory. But whatever you're carrying right now that's difficult for you, would you give it to God right now? We're going to sing that chorus, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God." As we sing it, I invite you to prayer. If you want to come forward, if you want to pray where you are, it's time for the church to pray. Let's believe Him. Shall we sing?